You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
And with the collapse of the former superpower,
several powerful factions now vie for control.
The threat is real. An evil organization calling itself SCAR.
Known only as SCAR.
Their goal,
nothing short of total world domination.
Led by this man,
known only as Iron Claw.
We will be victorious!
Not on my watch!
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. This time, we've decided for a change to talk about G.I. Joe. Wow! This is G.I. Joe Extreme. This is going to be episode 10. Now hear this, a delightful romp through the world of G.I. Joe Extreme. And to bring you on this journey, I am Ray Stakanis.
I am Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
Why are we all so unsure of who we are? Has it been that long since we've recorded?
No, it's just you, like, just you're becoming a caricature of yourself, which is really weird because you were a caricature to begin with. So
yeah, I was going to say I was born a caricature of myself. So that's strange.
Yeah, I don't know what territory we're headed into now.
I've evolved into double parody. This is great.
Oh, it's like the inception of knowing is half the podcast's race to Canis.
It's Ooh. More of a, damn it. What's the other, movie by that guy? The one with
Memento.
The magicians. No.
Yeah.
The Prestige. Thank you.
What
me.
Was the other one that wasn't The Prestige that came out at the same time?
Batman Begins.
The Illusionist.
Damn it.
With, Ed Norton.
Matinee with John Goodman.
Never saw, The Illusionist.
That Jim Carrey movie about a movie theater.
Ace Ventura.
2, When Nature Calls. Everybody knows. Anyway, Chan, how am I like that movie? You never explained.
How are you like Ace Ventura 2, Nature Calls?
Well, you don't need to explain that. I think the world already knows that answer. All righty then.
Oh, boy. I was just about to make a joke, and then I remembered that we were talking about it before the show, and so it would not make any sense during the show. And
not
also, it was horrible and very personal, and I would not do that to you.
Thankfully, hopefully you won't do it for a different podcast either.
I'm saving it for your Facebook page. I'm gonna post it, and then I'm going to tag your wife. And it'll be
fantastic. Yes. So that trend is back. So excited to hear it. So for those of you that, Chan, can I talk about this thing that we're doing this weekend?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You guys are going to kiss?
We're going to kiss on camera for Patreon, thus ensuring we lose every Patreon subscriber we have. No. Robert Clark Chan and his partner, Cy, right? I'm allowed to say that. Are coming over to do a different pod. Keep coming over with his own podcast crew to my house. To
Not even my
and
podcast.
My wife.
How's that for a change?
A third-party podcast wants to talk to Chan, and by proxy, of course, wants to talk to me. And what they're going to do, and Chan has pretty much laid this out for me before we started recording, what this crew is planning to do is these are what, reality TV, Real Housewives people, you said, Chan? Is that correct?
Something like that, maybe.
And so they're going to set up in my backyard, and they're going to try to get me to say some sort of gotcha anti-trans gender statement. So that way they can have it to hammer me with and make me look bad. Chan has invited this into my house, and I somehow said yes.
The gotcha's already begun.
This is they want this for they need one thing for everyone in case anyone ever runs for president.
Yep.
Exactly. This is where I'm worried. When I run for president, this is the thing that's going to sink me, but not with 30% of the country.
I still haven't cleaned up my Twitter account. There are literally thousands of things that I have said that could get me in trouble. So,
yeah.
As bad as
I've been on Twitter and other social medias in the past, and trust me on that, Chan, you have been worse.
In context, everything is totally fine, and I stand behind every single one of those things. Out of context, ooh, boy. Ooh, that's a shit show.
Look, in context, most of the things I said are horrible. I actually saw a Facebook thing that said, hey, 12 years ago, you said this terrible thing about this actress that you definitely would not say today. Would you like to share that with the world? And I said, no, actually, I'd like to delete that post entirely. Thank you for reminding me. I was a different person back then. All right, look, we were all young, edgy comics.
Yes.
And Gina's still a young, edgy comic.
My goodness.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll say it. Look, Chan wasn't going to say it. I had to. But we are talking today. Oh, yeah. So people at home, before we get into G.I. Joe, I shouldn't do this, right? Like, by the time this episode comes out, there will be still time for me to call it off. I shouldn't do it, right? Like, I am going to get completely destroyed on this. And it won't be my fault because it will not be things I actually say, but they're going to gotcha me and get me to slip and say something. And I feel like now this is a terrible mistake.
Here's what you do. As someone who worked for years transcribing for reality TV, you give all of the interviews and just say the absolute worst, most anti-trans stuff that you could possibly think of. No. And then at the end, you can be like, was that good? I was hit in the head a lot in college, so I hope it was good. And then if they release it, you release the footage of you saying that you got hit in the head, and everyone will be like, oh my God, that poor brain damaged man was tricked into saying terrible things by this evil corporation who knew he was brain damaged. I mean, look at him. Look at that man. He clearly has something severely wrong with him.
Wait a minute. Did the brain damage make him racist? Is that how?
Wait, it's racism now too? How hard are these gotcha questions going to be?
Oh, you have no idea.
I'm just saying then he can say that everything was taken out of context.
Oh, my God. You know, and Your Honor, all I have to say for the court of public opinion is 500 episodes of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. I'll wait.
And then they'll go back through it and be like, yeah, you're racist.
Oh, no. This sucks. Why do I do this to myself?
They'll be like, you've trained for 500 episodes. People just hammering at you, like calling you racist and sexist and all sorts of horrible things. How could you step right into that and screw it up?
How is this the thing that got you? The thing you saw coming from the people you don't trust. How is this possibly? Anyway, we're talking about it. Yes.
Just every episode of this podcast is a nail in each of our coffins. So just know that.
I mean, look, here's the deal. And this is the thing I will legitimately say. I feel at least for myself, I can't speak for the two of you, I have legitimately grown as a person through my engagements with the two of you and this show, and I sit right now a better person, although way more brain damaged, than when I started, what was it, 18 years ago? When did we start this show?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Look, if you want to become a better person, all it'll take is doing a 5-year-long podcast with Gina and I, and we'll do it for a nominal fee.
Honestly, quite frankly, yes, a very nominal fee.
Nominal means like hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, right?
It does not, sadly.
Oh boy.
Go to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast and give Chan the $100,000 bracket that he so richly deserves.
How far are we into the podcast? We haven't started talking about G.I. Joe yet.
Let's do it. It's been a few minutes.
I don't even know where we are.
This is episode 10 of G.I. Joe Extreme. It's called Now Hear This. And I don't know how you guys feel. First off, this intro, this live action intro, I've gotten used to them. I love them. Live action giant CGI robots. Now, I didn't get this. They were flying around. It was Rampage the bad guy, Inferno the bad guy. And Rampage is trying to sell stuff to Inferno or Vito. No, Rampage is trying to buy stuff from Inferno, right?
And no, they're flying around. Rampage was trying to sell stuff to Inferno.
Sell stuff. There we go.
And it's not that hard, Ray. Inferno says, I need to test the merchandise first, and then goes down and shoots at them to see how hardy they are, and they explode.
Gina, I'm working again, so my brain is more mushed than it already would be on a normal day.
Look, I have been traveling. I've been having personal emotional distress. I filmed an audition right before this. Wow. I had an audition. I filmed an audition. Leslie had to come over because I don't know how to work technology. So she did it all for me in exchange for some pumpkin Kringle. I don't know what fucking day it is. I'm barely wearing pants over here. And still, I understood that opening.
Gina, I'm pretty sure I figured out the source of your financial woes. You're using pumpkin Kringle as currency. And that's not going to work for the bank.
Look, I'm pumpkin Kringle rich, okay? I invested all of my money into the pumpkin Kringle. I accidentally left it out for a few nights and then it got moldy and now I'm broke.
I mean, this all tracks, to be fair. So Inferno's the one buying the merchandise. And he blows up the robots, then comes down and like grabs the pieces of the robots and is very happy. I didn't really understand what was happening.
Chan, can you please? I can't handle this today.
No, we're just going to move on. It's the cold open. It doesn't really relate to anything anyway. It's like those first 4 minutes of a Simpsons episode where they do a thing and then all of a sudden it turns out that the plot is actually something completely different. So we're just going to let Ray stew in his ignorance.
Okay.
Man, am I going to have to watch this again?
You going to have to watch the 30-second cold open intro of a cartoon again? Yeah, you might.
I might be able to work that in Saturday at about 2 p.m. That's about all the time I have right now.
I'm just going to say up front, right out the gate, if I had to watch this episode again, I wouldn't mind it. It was
not a bad episode
that I actually genuinely kind of enjoyed more than I expected to.
Wait, why are you surprised? I feel like we've been consistently enjoying G.I. Joe Extreme. You have certain complaints, like the music videos and things like that, but usually even you admit that the plots are not bad.
It's that thing where I've been slowly acclimating to the just god-awful 90s over-the-top extreme aesthetic, which at the very beginning was absolutely getting in the way of me enjoying anything, even though I was like, yes, structurally, this all makes sense. All of these pieces are in the correct order and, you know, they're like no holes. And like now I'm kind of like, okay, you know what? If I just sort of like tune out, you know, then this isn't so bad.
Yeah, you've evolved.
I would use for this. No, not growing. Growing colder and harder in my heart. That's a thing that's happening.
We're about to get bootleg knockoff Tomax and Zaymot.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for saying it because I was coming with it if you weren't.
We all recognize that that's what they're supposed to be, right?
Oh, yeah.
100%. Now, look, so Inferno is flying a jet, like a Harrier jet, and he's flying it through New York City. He just goes to a building, which is basically Extensive Enterprises, basically. He hangs it flying outside, like, the 30th story window, and it's a cable shopping network board meeting. And I'm like, where the hell are we going with this?
Weirdly, today I had a VTOL craft hover over me for most. We went to the goddamn Statue of Liberty today, okay?
Wow.
And as we were there, I even got a picture of it because it was irritating the hell out of me. I was like, it's a shot of the Statue of Liberty and one of those airplanes where the engines like turn vertical and they sort of like hover.
Just like a turtle. Was
just, sort of just like going back and forth. And then I was like, this is ridiculous, whatever. And then we got back into New York City proper, and there was still another one flying over like Battery Park. I'm like, what? For Christ's sake.
Did we get invaded?
No, they were there for Chan.
Oh.
That's entirely possible. Now that I think about it, it does make a lot of sense. I was being followed by a lot of people in black suits, black hats, sunglasses. But what I'm saying is, those motherfuckers are loud. So if you're hovering in front of a big-ass plate glass window, not only would you be seen very clearly, it would also be hard to talk over the noise.
Yeah, and be shaking the windows, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of things would be happening, but somehow this is a Cobra, or I'm sorry, Scar jet, and it's completely silent and invisible. I don't know. It just works that way. He's spying on these I don't think they're twins. But
no, I couldn't tell actually, like, because at first I was like, oh, they're not twins, and then at the end I realized like their facial designs are very similar. It's just one is wearing glasses and they're not dressed the same. So I was like, you know what, they could be twins,
could be.
But I think I bet it was probably like pitched as twins, and someone was like, oh, it's too much like the original, and people were like, so, and they were like, we're trying to do something different. But I mean, I liked these characters.
Yes,
you know, being a bully when I was little, I sided with them the entire time.
Oh Lord, of course.
So,
you did.
But also, I do like I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I have cracked the code of what G.I. Joe Extreme does, and it's not a bad thing. I enjoy it. But they basically start with something that would normally be one of the OG episodes. Uh-huh. So, for instance, in this meeting, these twins who are, bad at selling shitty merchandise on public shopping networks say, wait, investors, we have this machine that using subliminal messages, it brainwashes people. So now, and then they give us all their money. So now that in and of itself would be a plot in the original Sunbow era. And it would be that, and it would be the Joes trying to get to this machine to shut it down before Cobra has all of these millions of dollars to, I don't know, build a rocket on the moon or whatever it is. So they start with that, and then they go totally off the rails, which I appreciate, because this was like, okay, well, great. What if these bad guys had this machine and they're using it to get lots of money to fund their nefarious things? And instead, this was like, yeah, what if they had this machine funding nefarious things? But then this fucking crazy, weird incel dude who was bullied and then went insane, like, uses it to get his revenge.
Yeah. So to fill in some of the details there really quick, it's the Grunback brothers. They make and distribute products which are terrible. And they say, we have special audio we're going to play over the home shopping network, whatever thing. And we're going to use a mesmerizer. And Chan, do you want to add to that?
No, what I was going to say is that I would really like to see, Buzz's original, I don't know if you would have called it a show Bible back then, but like, it's,
yeah,
I think he was saying that like he gave them season one and then they just fucked it all up. But
that would make sense then.
It feels like he may have just given them like what would actually be, you know, Sunbow era G.I. Joe episodes. And then, as you say, just started with that skeleton and then wrote him off the rails.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, here's the deal.
I appreciate, actually. Yeah. I was rewatching some old regular show episodes today, not the ones that I worked on, but they're sort
the
of
shitty ones. Am I right, Gina?
The ones that won Emmys, whereas the ones that I write did not. But they, you know, they have this formula that it starts with sort of a mundane thing, like Mordecai and Rigby are going to rake the leaves. And that's sort of the first act is, oh, we don't want to rake the leaves. How do we get out of raking the leaves? And then it goes off the rails. Like, for instance, they find a really cool rake, and the rake turns out that if you rake fast enough, it brings you into an alternate dimension or something like that. Yeah. So I appreciate that this starts out with normal sort of Sunbow era, you know, normal in quotes, because the plans are always insane. But like, this would be Tomax and Zaymot pitching to Cobra Commander and saying like, oh, we've got it, you know, like Destro has a design for this machine that will blow up the moon, but we need to fund it. So we bought a public television station and this sure. is what we're doing. And then the rest is the Joes sort of, you know, like realizing what's going on and stopping it. And then, but then this was like, what if there's a mentally ill person involved?
Well, and Chan, do you have the actual sales pitch sound drop for this blender advertisement? Because it did sort of make me laugh. Some of the lines in there happen real fast, but they are really funny to me.
Totally amazing. Run That Food Processor is the only appliance you need. It slices, it dices, it makes mountains of julienne fries, even if you don't want julienne fries. How much would you pay for a food processor of this quality? Not $29.95, not $19.95, not even for the giveaway price of $9.95. Order right now and we'll let you have it for the unbelievable price of only $999.95.
Amazing. Amazing. I love the parody in there. I love the julienne fries. Even if you don't want julienne fries, everything about that makes me happy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they even did the math for me, thankfully. They sold 1,000 because that's how many they had. And they sold them in 10 seconds after, because at first they're just like, boo, it doesn't work. And they're like, let's try it again with the audio. And then after the audio plays, they sell 1,000 of them for $1 million total in 10 seconds, which blows my mind. Like how... These are phone orders. How did it happen so fast?
Mm-hmm. Let's not dwell on this.
Don't worry about that. At this point, you know, they're like, wow, we're going to do the thing. We just made $1 million whenever we want to. And I kind of like, I wish I had this. Honestly, I wish this is a thing. I could just have $1 million whenever I needed it. It's a good trick to have in your bag.
I don't.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Some of us live for more than just money, sir.
Oh, not this guy. Hell
Some
no.
of us live for the daily terror of never knowing if they're going to work again.
Hold on. I just need to remind everybody that when Gina says that some of us aren't working for just money, she is referring to Pumpkin Kringle. So like in that respect, yes, we do need to live for more than just Pumpkin Kringle.
No, I disagree. All you need is Pumpkin Kringle. I'm going to re-record the song and that's what we're going to sing. All you need is Pumpkin Kringle.
Okay, look.
Did you guys know Taco Bell has kids meals? Okay, wait. Can I just ask Ray something that I just thought of?
What is happening?
Ray came over my house to get my keys the other day to watch my cats when I was away. And I had bought 2 Happy Meals recently.
That's correct.
Because it's Disney's 50th anniversary and they have Disney toys inside that I wanted.
Gotta love it.
I gave them both to Ray.
We got the mini one and it's trash.
Oh, what? I got the mini one and I loved it.
The mini one's great.
Setting her on like a little pedestal thing. Ugh.
Yeah. It. And that's what all of them do. They stand on a pedestal in front of a little thing, but the thing moves.
The Space Jam one, the lenticular bah, the Space Jam ones had a Wile E. Coyote that was attached to a rocket. But when you flip the switch, Wile E. Coyote would fly off the rocket.
You know why?
Acme toy
That's
thing
pretty good.
Work for that was
because
awesome.
Some things good. Need pomp and circumstance, and some just stand on their own. And
wow!
Stuff. But I got a character I didn't know, and I ended up giving both of them to Ray. And I want to know, did Luna like them?
She loved them. She actually takes them to school now. She takes them to daycare every day, so she can play with them there.
Did you tell her they were for me, or did you take all the cool points?
Look, I sat her down and I looked her square in the eye and I said, I just came from Gina's. These are from me. I looked at her square in the eyes and I said, no, I said they were from you.
Yes.
As if she, you know, you could possibly be cooler to her.
Yes.
Not Look, possible.
All no. I have left is Pumpkin Kringle and kids thinking I'm cool.
What else do you need? Really?
Egon still hates you, Gina, just so you know.
You know what? I only need one. I only need one kid to start my kid army.
You better buy more Happy Meals. You're going to lose this gravy train.
So, I mean, I'm always out for buying new Happy Meals. It's almost like they've been pumping me full of subliminal messages. Now, see, oh, did you like that transition back?
I love it. Speaking of subliminal messages, Inferno shatters the windows of this boardroom, jumps out of his jet into it, steals the thing. I think he does. He steal the mesmerizer? Yes.
Yes, I hope there's a flashback first.
But then he says, do you brothers not recognize who I am? 20 years ago, Inferno was the maid's son. These kids obviously came from money. I love the fact that G.I. Joe isn't pretending that our economic system isn't broken, that these two shysters who sell absolute garbage on television aren't independently wealthy from a trust fund. I think that's delightful that they're willing to go there.
I bet their dad gave them money to start this company, and they were really ran it into the ground.
Probably just like a small loan of like $1 million.
Both of these guys were hired basically to be basically CEOs of this QVC type company that was purchased by this larger company. So they're just flunkies, basically. They're middle management. They're not much of anything.
Well, middle management CEOs.
I mean, except that they friggin' created a mesmerizer, which really they should have focused on that part of their skill set.
Yeah, probably could have sold that for a lot.
Yeah. But can I just say that, like, Inferno as a kid is truly terrifying looking.
Really, oh, yes.
I mean, look, so I would have also bullied the shit out of him, and then he would have come for his revenge years later.
He's still missing hair. He's got buck teeth.
He's got like one tooth. Like, and you know that kid like kills animals or something like that.
No. You've seen American Psycho. Surely you know that these rich kids are the ones who are killing animals. And this,
I think they're all killing animals. I think they're killing animals. I think that kid is essentially Trash Can Man. I think Inferno used to be Trash Can Man. This is actually more evidence that he's Trash Can Man. He burned up old lady something's pension check or whatever he did in the stand. Because that's exactly how I picture little Trash Can Man, as like a weirdo who gets bullied because they're like, oh, you masturbate to fire and you burned up the old lady's pension check and you did this. I'm just saying they all deserve to be bullied. All kids, except for Luna, who thinks I'm awesome, deserve to be bullied.
There you go.
I don't understand how we could have seen the same show, both been like pretty on board with it, and yet seen it so very differently. Because I was 100% on Inferno's side.
You would be.
No, look, I was also on Inferno's side, so I think I know which two of the three of us got bullied when we were kids, and who was a bully. I think everyone just outed ourselves.
Everyone gets bullied. Not everyone turns into an Inferno.
Yes,
you
some,
did.
Some of them turned. Yeah, exactly. Also,
I also hate the rich kids in this scenario. I hate the rich kids for being rich little brats. I hate Inferno for being such a weird one-toothed, and you know, like, he's going around biting babies and shit with that one tooth.
Jesus,
why would he?
I don't understand what's happening.
Look, that's specific enough that I think that you are going around biting babies and wanting to hate you,
gross.
Trying to put them in the army, and they're
all sticky and shit.
Real quick, he says that this was 20 years ago, and they were what, like 6, 7 then?
I was going to say 10.
I was thinking like 9 or 10, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means that Inferno is now 30. Even though he's 85.
I thought you were thinking he was like going to be younger or something, because he should be further along in his career if he's 30.
Career of a supervillain?
He should be upper management by now.
He is upper management.
What you don't understand is he was 65 in that clip.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop. and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand, and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's the Cobra Imp.
Cobra Imp's a tower of rocket power.
The rockets separate to lay down anti-vehicle mines.
That's why the Imp's so important to Cobra. Nobody beats G.I. Joe, the G.I. Joe Swamp Master.
There's Storm Shadow and Shockwave.
Swamp Master's ready for some Cobra chasing. Ripping through the swamp with cannon blazing. And nobody beats G.I. Joe, the real American hero.
Swamp Master, Cobra Imp, and figure sold separately.
Joe!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Gotcha. Okay, now that makes more sense. Yeah.
Now, his name is Kidwell. The kids just bully the living shit out of him immediately. Like, they don't wait even a second. They're like, oh, do you have some makeshift airplane? We're going to fucking destroy it in front of you and tell you you'll never have anything good in your life. Like, they don't just bully him. They get goddamn psychological with it. Like, this thing gets crazy.
I will also say, to be fair, we all know that this is actually the mom's fault, right? Because she's oh, hello, sons. He is a freak that I found in the basement. Treat him well. Ta-ta. And then, like, leaves. She clearly doesn't know her kids are assholes.
Yeah. Well, she never checks in on them again.
You're telling me she never checks in on them again?
Oh, no. God, no. I wouldn't have. When my kid gets that age, absolutely going to leave him with neighbors and just be like, hey, play nice, shut the door, and then go have a drink.
No. My mom checked on us if we needed snacks to make sure we were having fun, but also, you know, unspoken thing, to make sure we weren't biting babies.
No, look, when Egon gets to be like 9 or 10 years old, Chan is 1,000% just going to leave him at some comedy dude's house for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely going to happen.
I don't care which comedy dude either. Just whoever.
Doesn't matter. They're all the same. They're all 24 God. Years old and white. Like, what?
And then you're going to come home and Egon's going to be like, women are bitches. I deserve sex. And you're going to be like, where'd you learn that? And he's going to be like, you've been leaving me with comedy dudes for years, Dad.
But to be fair, his delivery on that line is going to be incredible.
Yeah, he punches it right. And that's important.
You can't even get mad at him, honestly, if you think about it. So, Inferno kidnaps. We are barely like 5 minutes into this episode.
I mean, Inferno, do you want me to do the recap again like I do when I speed through?
Good. Inferno kidnaps the Grunback brothers and goes on an air chase with them, which was a lot of fun. At one point, he shoots down one of the members of the Joe team, who just bails out and lets the airplane fall onto a busy New York street, and nobody cares or mentions it again.
Dude, have you ever been to New York? No one, like, everyone is constantly angry, but no one really gives. Like, I've seen people sidestep men shitting on the sidewalk before.
Look, I had to go, all right? Jeez.
That is not an inaccurate statement.
Everyone's constantly angry and like yelling about things, but really they could see a stabbing right in front of them and they would be like, oh God, I'm spilling my coffee over here. What are you doing? All right, I gotta go to the subway now.
When I was a kid, I learned everything I needed to know about New Yorkers from the movie Ghostbusters. And y'all remember this is when Rick Moranis is being chased by the monster, runs to the very fancy bistro restaurant, banging on the window, being, please let me in. There's something going to kill me. Let me in. Turns around, gets murdered by it. And literally everybody 1 second later turns back to their conversations as one. And I'm just like, I understand New York completely based on this one moment, and I am 7.
Yep.
I've spent a month here and can confirm that everybody is Kitty Genovese in this. feel real weird about it.
Timely.
Wow. Look at you. Look at you. Okay. So, I wrote here after the bully scene, I was like, just Inferno, you can fucking murder them. It will be nothing to me. Murder these two bullies. I'm fine with that. Go for it. Great. So this dude from G.I. Joe drops. We cut to commercial. We come back. He has a grappling hook and he makes the save with Mayday. Where
he jumps out. He ejects. He's got the parachute. And Inferno's like, not good enough.
Oh, you're right.
Fire to the parachute.
He burns the parachute. Kind of rad.
That's a great move. That's a true supervillain move there.
Mm-hmm. That's a dick move. And the bad job me, because that was pretty amazing. And I loved Inferno for it. I wish he would have set those brothers on fire. But we'll see what happens to them later. Lieutenant Stone goes into the board because apparently he can just do this now. Oh, Inferno is here. I'm just going to jump in through the destroyed window and root around this office.
Oh, quick sidebar. Because when what's his face Outbacker jumps
Inferno
junction whatever no the Function. Joe who
I forgot calling. His name, it's the Rastafarian guy yeah. with the dreadlocks,
he gets saved and he says, thanks matey, I owe you one, which weirdly another thing that I was doing today in addition to going to the Statue of Liberty, you can't get in there by the way, and that's really all my kid ever wanted to do was go inside the statue. He wanted to get up in him guts is the deal.
Okay.
He is really into looking at the insides of things lately.
Oh, that's super creepy. Yeah. Tell the people at home about that thing you bought him.
The dissectable Elmo.
Yeah. What the fuck, Chan?
You know what? I always said that I would I wouldn't push him to do anything, but whatever I found out, discovered his interests were, I would lean into them and help him discover those things. And apparently he's into cutting up animals and people. And so like, yeah, well, here we go.
Chan, we were just having a whole conversation about children murdering animals. And you're right here giving your kid dissectable Elmo.
Are you saying that I shouldn't have given them that scalpel? That's my bad.
No, the scalpel was fine. You shouldn't have then had a play date with another child and told him to go to town.
They just shut the door and go for a drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing. I found out about this thing called matelotage, which was same-sex civil unions amongst pirates and some sailors in the 17th and 18th century. Like, it was gay marriage. They would, if one of them passed away, the other person would inherit their, you know, money kind of thing.
I could dig it.
And it derives from the same word that we get matey from, because the French word was like Mattel or something like that, meaning a sailor.
So what does this mean for Mattel toys? Did we just learn something?
Yes. They're all soups gay.
Well, understood.
But I think we
knew that at a young age.
I think we all knew that. Yeah,
that's true.
Anyway, that was just a fun fact for you. Let's move on.
So Lieutenant Stone finds the tape that they were using as an example, and he says, let's take it back to base. So we go back to base. Heavy Metal is using the tape. He plays the tape. Both of them end up buying a goddamn blender, even though they're all sold out. Plot hole. I know. How did they do this? I don't know. But they both buy the blenders.
No, they
and
just
then in the very next scene, they have the blenders. How fast is this shipping?
No. They just wanted food processors. So they went out and got food processors. A, food processor is not a blender. How dare you? You should know the difference.
Same goddamn thing.
You just go down to a freaking Walmart and pick up a food processor. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You can get
he
two.
Says, so literally, like, I should call. These are the ones hummus. From the ad. Chan, I'm angry at you.
What? No, because when they break down the signal, they find out it just says like, buy, you got to buy, you want this, you want this. So
now.
He specifically said food processor and probably just like wasn't paying real close attention to the make and models. It's like, all you know, I got to get me a Cuisinart.
I mean, okay, fair enough.
I say that as someone who has clearly been affected by subliminal messaging because I got some multiple food processors.
No,
yeah, you got a lot of kitchen stuff.
I felt the urge to buy a magic bullet, and it was beyond my control. I somehow avoided it, but I know exactly what that feeling is like, and I cannot explain it or understand it.
I love my ninja. Not going to lie. It's a great.
Buy, sell. No, buy it all. I got nothing. So Inferno is now tormenting these brothers. He's, you know, setting stuff on fire around him. He's like, haha, I'm going to get you. And then he uses this new cannon device, the Mesmerizer. He uses it on the brothers and makes them love him. Because deep down, all he wanted was their approval. All he wanted was the world to love him and not treat him like shit. And so, you know, he's a tormented, fragmented, damaged soul inside the supervillain.
He's an incel.
If you don't identify with Inferno, you are a monster.
If you identify with Inferno, you are an incel who is one manifesto and a shooting away from just wreaking havoc.
Please, I have several manifestos, and I have never set any parachuting G.I. Joe on fire.
I mean, I do like this. This is particularly twisted that he is doing this.
Chad, I would only argue.
I will say that my hope, like as soon as he starts to do this, my hope was that he would have a scarecrow-esque like brain thing. Like it would either backfire on him and either like, you know, leave him catatonic. Like, you know how in Batman, anytime you're like a psychological villain, at some point you're gonna taste your own stash.
Yep.
And see your worst fears if you're Scarecrow or something else. Or like overdose on vertigo or whatever. So I was kind of hoping that happened. And I will say I was not disappointed. They found a way to sort of tie that in.
I just wanted to say to the earlier point, Chan, the only reason why you haven't set a parachuting G.I. Joe on fire is because you have not had the opportunity.
Yes, I thought
given
that
the
was
moment,
that
not you would have done it.
Do we? I believe I've made my feelings on which side of the Cobra Joe divide I would be on. I've never made any qualms about that.
I mean, fair enough. Okay, so he also Inferno also turns this device on Rampage, and now Rampage is his bestie in a real weird sequence where he turns like into the Green Man, then back and Green Man, and back for seemingly no good reason other than Inferno's fucking with him.
No, and I thought that was kind of fun. I actually loved this because it's basically like he's already has a fucking crazy mind that's true. Been affected by something that isn't supposed to be in the human body. So I loved this warring of which terrible thing is stronger. Is it his crazy homemade potion that turns him from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde? Or is it this piece of technology that's been created? I like that we were seeing like, oh shit, like this is what happens if you take two terrible things and try and mush them into one human brain.
Okay, here's the deal, into it. So we cut back to G.I. Joe. They've discovered the secret of the tape now. They understand it's subliminal messaging, and they're going to have to work against it. At this point, a big tank. I mean, Inferno shows up in style with a big tank.
Hold on. We need to just real quick talk about this sequence here where they figure out what exactly is going on with the tape. And Sergeant Stone, the leader of this organization, the person who has, you know, the overview and the big picture, he's their strategist, knows what the sound does. And his question is,
but what could Inferno want with it?
What could Inferno want with a mind control device?
He asked. What could a villain do with mind control? I don't know.
There's so many, options. Maybe he's going to do something bad with it?
I think that's a fair assessment, Stone.
Yeah, this one's a thinker.
Now, I like that Inferno shows up with a big honking tank because he's balling now because he's feeling it.
Oh, yeah.
He brings Iron Claw. They go, let's go do the thing. Cool. And Iron Claw says, you're going to run stuff by me right now. Like, I'm tired. You're like, you messed up the thing. I don't know what you were doing in New York. Iron Claw probably had some tendrils on this shopping channel that now Inferno has fucked up. He's very, very mad. But wait Inferno a minute. Is ready wait a minute. To show
hold
up.
On. Hold on. I'm yes. sorry. I'm sorry. I just realized what he said.
Ruined an operation I spent months setting up. More than $1 million was wasted thanks to you.
Did he buy 1,000 food processors? Plus shipping.
If it is.
It's $1,000. More than $1,000 is the shipping for 1,000 food processors.
No, I'm assuming it's all in R&D.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Iron Claw's plan involved having 1,000 people watching the food, the shopping channel, then he deserved exactly what he got. That was a bad plan.
I'm just saying that that can't be a coincidence.
No, that is right on point. That is kind of funny. Maybe he did buy all them himself. Pretty good. So he says, let's go to the Normandy safe house of Scar. Okay, great. So we go to the Normandy safe.
You think he would know because we just did this last episode.
Yeah.
Or the episode before. Just send me a text. Just tell me in an email. Okay. This doesn't have to be a meeting. It doesn't have to be a in-person meeting. Just fucking send me a video.
He likes to see stuff for himself. And I appreciate they get to the Normandy base. G.I. Joe immediately attacks. And he's like, what the hell? And Inferno's like, oh, I invited them here. Like, God damn it, Inferno. I know you're proud of your thing, but you could have tested it out on anybody.
Also, like, can I just say that? So he's about to mess with everyone. And yes. He does it in like the most, kind of delightful way ever. Like he could have made them fight club each other. Mm-hmm. Like if my worst enemies were in a room, I feel like I would set it to like beat each other almost to death mode. Yeah. But he's like, oh, you learned to juggle and now you're practicing juggling
you grenades.
You guys are dancing. It's fun.
Oh, it gets wild because he hits Metalhead with it, who immediately attacks one of the G.I. Joe vehicles and blows it up. He hits the rest of the team. Yeah, juggling grenades. Mayday and I think Stone start making out. Like, that was crazy.
And then kissing in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all very – he has the mind of a child.
Makes sense. Iron Claw turns and is like, I love this. This thing works. Give me the device.
Also, let's not forget that some Joe here walks away with a new skill, juggling.
Juggling.
Who among us wouldn't want to be able to juggle like 5 grenades at a time?
Yeah, I would let someone briefly brainwash me if it meant that after 5 minutes I knew how to juggle for the rest of my life.
But doesn't he lose the ability once the mesmerization wears off?
It's a good question.
Shut up, Ray.
Get it on video, put it on YouTube, and then we're done. I don't have to know how to do it anymore. Until the Tonight Show calls. Okay, so he says, give me the device, Iron Claw says. And Inferno was a flashback of, give me all your shit, you'll never have anything. He says, no. He blasts Iron Claw with the device, and the effect wears off on the Joe team, and they're like, yo, that was bad. And Mayday and Stone are like, they don't talk to each other. Like nobody really comes to grips with that moment or talks about what it means in a big picture scale. Interesting. So he says, we find out that there's a Puerto Rico satellite tower that
the
Arecibo
radio telescope, right? It's an actual thing.
Oh, I didn't know this. I assume that's where they broadcast Hamilton from. Am I incorrect?
It is not a thing that is used to broadcast. It is a radio telescope. It is used to collect signals from outer space.
How did I not know about that? That's cool as hell. Good job, Puerto Rico.
Haven't you seen Contact?
Oh, yeah. I guess a long time ago.
Yeah. Remember that huge-ass satellite dish thing?
If you ask me if I remember anything about that movie, the answer is no, thank you.
I still like it. It's a good movie.
I mean, I remember it being good. That's all I could say to that. I forget a lot of things now, Chan. could we? So Heavy Metal gives an explanation of what is what needs to happen with the device and what he can do to combat the device. And Chan, I would love this sound drop because this is about as science mumbo jumbo I'm going to need you to explain to me as we've ever gotten.
Well, it's a stupid biosonic feedback, like its own poem that fries your mind. By riding the waves through a triple modulation loop and feeding it out a mouse-up modified oscillator, we should be able to unscrew his dome and juice him through his toes.
Yeah, whatever you say.
Chan, you're the resident science jerk on this show. What what does that mean?
He ran it through a guitar pedal.
Oh. He ran it through a guitar pedal.
That's basically all that happened there.
Oh. All right, here's the deal. Great job, writers. You made me believe.
That's the second technobabble segment in the show. And both of them were actually, you know, like, not too bad.
Not bad. Like, I like that.
You're just using, like, you know, like, actual audio engineering terms. And, you know, yeah, it's a little bit bullshitty, but also it sounds pretty legit, even when you're, like, listening to it. Like, yeah, okay.
And I'll be honest, I liked his delivery. Like, that type of character voice, that cool surfer dude voice from the 90s always makes me cringe. Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles looking at you. But when it's his delivery on that line really worked for me. I felt like he was trying to explain it as best he could, knowing it was already impossible, but he tried to do it anyway and tried to make it dumb it down as much as he could. And it still was impossible. I mean, I really liked that line read a lot.
He just had the conversation with him where it's like, what could he possibly want with a mind control ray? So it's like, oh God, I know how this is going to go. All right. I'm just going to say some words and we're just going to move on from here.
What could Thunk the caveman do with that club?
To be fair, you could do a lot of, you can tenderize meat. You can use it as a decoration. You can hang a hat on it. You can fashion some bristles to it and use it as a broom. You can do someone in the butt with it as long as it's consensual.
All of that is accurate. this leads me to my favorite line in the entire episode, because, and it, just to set it up here, Chan, I'm assuming you know what line I'm talking about here. To set up this line, Inferno is headed to this radio tower to broadcast. He knows G.I. Joe is on the way, and he's going, and he knows that things could go badly soon, and he definitely needs his device to work again on G.I. Joe, to which point he turns and says,
hurry up! They don't love me soon, I'm gonna be in big trouble!
I love everything about that line.
That is a pretty great line, yeah.
The number
That's how
of times,
I feel when I go into every TV meeting.
That's it, right? I've ever done.
Does it end up the same way as it ends up for poor Inferno?
Yeah. I end up, someone ends up brain dead every time.
And as if this show hadn't been crazy enough, they decide to ratchet it up a notch towards, like, with 3 minutes to go in the episode, because he successfully zaps the world with his Inferno love machine.
Yep.
And it's just a love machine, and it don't work for nobody but Inferno.
More Gina singing, the people have spoken. All these people are mid-speech, which just makes me laugh. How many speeches that are important are all happening at the exact same time as this Inferno machine? So the president is mid-televised speech. He stops what he's saying to say it's like Inferno Appreciation Day nationally, which is awesome. And then they cut to the Nobel Prize, and Chan, you gotta play this because this shit also made me laugh.
This year, the Nobel Prize goes to Inferno in all categories.
Inferno in all categories.
This is what Donald Trump would do if he had one of those things. He would do exactly what Inferno is doing.
Oh, did you not realize?
Do you still not?
Was a Donald Trump analog?
Oh, but you relate to him and empathize with him, do you, Chan?
God damn it. Hoisting my own petard.
Uh-oh. look, so at this point, like, well, you know, the one thing that G.I. Joe Extreme loves to do that we haven't done yet with like 2 minutes to go in the episode, a goddamn music video.
When they did this, I realized they hadn't done it up until that point. And yeah. I think that that's probably why Chan liked this episode so much.
So the final fight is like a minute long music video again with nothing but music playing. And you know, ostensibly what happens is that Inferno shoots the device at G.I. Joe. It hits like all of them except for Heavy Metal, who's flying around on this crazy, like, piano guitar. This is like straight out of Metalocalypse. Like, this is what Death Clock would be riding around stage on in the future. It's crazy. And he's got his guitar weapon out. He's absorbing the device, shooting it back. And instead of doing anything weird, it just blows up the bass.
Yeah, it's a feedback. He's in a feedback loop. So it's basically like the end of any Smashing Pumpkins concert.
Okay, fair. And this sort of is what happened in the Long Live Rock and Roll two-parter in the Deke era G.I. Joe. Remember their sonic weapon that they had? Slightly different, but basically the same thing. He blows up the island, and all the scars take off. Everybody's fine. Inferno, like, well, it happens. We don't really even talk to him anymore after that. The effect wears off on everybody, except for they go and find the Grunback brothers in the base. Gina, you want to tell us what happens? I think this is the part you were alluding to before.
Yeah, so I was kind of hoping that it would happen to Inferno, but I think it's much more appropriate that it happens to the makers of this machine. And they're like, "Oh, are you back to normal? What do you remember?" And they're basic. Wait, why doesn't Chandra play it?
Because you didn't set him up, Gina.
Why, no, we don't remember a thing about anything.
End of episode.
Yeah. End of the guitar. Wow. Which, like,
I forgot about that.
Such an abrupt ending.
Yes.
They don't even let you sit with it. Like, no. Like, if this was a Twilight Zone, it would be like, we don't remember a thing about anything. And then, like, you know, the camera would pull out, and then maybe you would see them like being taken around a hospital or something like that, learning how to retie their shirts. But it literally just ends and then goes immediately into the PSA. For a second, I thought the PSA was like,
No, we got to go back because Gina said that they were learning how to retie their shirts. Do you mean like halter top, like pulling the bottom of it and tying a little knot so that their midriff shows? Or do you mean like one of those like old Shakespearean troop shirts where they have lace at the top they have to tie up? Because I have never in my life tied or retied a shirt.
You know what? Call me David Fincher because it's up for interpretation, okay?
You know, can I say right now, that last exchange has made me terrified for this weekend. Because if Chan will hammer on that point and these people are more gotcha and better at it than Chan is, I am in deep shit.
I would argue nobody's better at it than me.
Okay, maybe true. Maybe that's why you're there.
You've learned from a master, so you have all the skills you need now.
Okay, fair enough. I'm so screwed. In the Sunbow original season, they did an episode called Glamour Girls. If you remember this one, where the Joes actually turn into like children, and it's about de-aging. And then the lady who isn't Cobra, who was behind this whole thing, is very vain, and she ends up losing her face in a goddamn horrifying body horror moment. And remember the camera pulls back, you hear the scream, you hear the crying, you know, you just like, you really get a moment to take it in. It's chilling and horrifying. And then the show ends. But if that had happened in G.I. Joe Extreme, it would have been, I don't have a face. Wow. End of episode. It would have been amazing, to be fair.
I mean, my first thought was like, oh, this show got overstuffed. They cut bunch of stuff. And then I'm like, but they still had the montage in there, which means that it was a priority for the producers to have that minute-long instrumental montage at the expense of like some really decent writing.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, excellent moment. Most recent in media for me, Hitman 3 has a very similar ending to it in almost the exact same kind of similar way. And I really like, I like this ending. I like it when you don't kill the villain, you leave them not remembering they even were a villain. I think it's a good twist that's not done often enough.
No.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the PSA really quick, because the kid catches fire.
Yeah, this was hilarious.
How amazing. Now, this is, again, this is a G.I. Joe PSA from Sunbow. They just retooled and reskinned for this.
Was it? Oh, I don't remember.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll have to find it. I just find like the whole like 8-minute video of all the PSAs, just so we could watch it, so we know what we're talking about. So we can be like, you could be like that Leonardo DiCaprio meme where you're just like, ah, and then point at the screen when it comes on. But yeah, so you catch fire. I think this was Spirit. I think Spirit was the one who did this one where the kid catches fire. He's like, I'm going to run for the river. And Spirit's like, you dumb motherfucker. Grabs a blanket, wraps him with a blanket, rolls him on the ground a few times and says, you're not on fire anymore, dipshit. And I think that's how it ends. I'm pretty sure.
I realize that like all of these PSAs rely on the fact that kids are doing something and there's always a Joe nearby. But like these are two boys alone in the woods. I guess they're camping or something. So the fact that a Joe was nearby with a kid-sized blanket makes it especially creepy. Like, it's not just like this. These are kids walking down a street and they don't look the other way and a Joe jumps out of nowhere. This is like kids on a solo camping trip. In the middle of the woods, it's already dark out, and like there's a Joe that's like, well, hello, it looks like you need some fire safety lessons.
And also
and no
to point
one
out,
is like, whoa, where'd you come from, dude?
Yeah, to be fair, the kids don't know the G.I. Joe is there, so he is hiding from them in this moment and jumps out when he's needed.
One, we got to talk about, you are correct, because like when he wraps him in the blanket, he hugs a little too close and too long. I mean, he should have put him on the ground and rolled him, but he's like, no, get close, man. Two, if they are indeed alone in the forest, that's reason to call CPS, because these kids are not old enough
not old
to be
enough
out in the wilderness on their own.
Well, you know, in the 90s, things were different, Chan.
No,
we can
they
both
weren't.
Speak to this. Kids were allowed to go to the store by themselves on their bikes that was like 2 miles away,
okay,
buy cigarettes. Like, this is just what kids were doing in the 90s. Latchkey kids was an absolute thing that I absolutely had.
No,
we were given a lot more freedom and a lot less safety. And this is why the 90s had serial killers.
I was a latchkey kid. I was never sent 200 miles out into the middle of nowhere.
Yo, 200 miles. People have woods in their backyard.
You
just hike a few hundred like feet in, or you hike like a quarter of a mile in, you set up your crap and you're still on the 2 acres of land or 100 acres of land. If you were my friend in high school, when we used to camp in his woods, in his backyard.
Okay. Hold on. Now that I've been in New York, and seen this sort of thing, I can attest that in fact, that is possible. That is not a thing that happens out on the West Coast. Certainly not in Los Angeles. So I, if it weren't for this experience, I would have told you that you are a bullshit liar. But then when you mentioned your 100 acres of land just laying around that you could just wander into, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's Gina's childhood growing up.
No, first of all, it's not mine. Not mine. I had a friend whose parents were very rich, and they owned like 100 acres, most of it woods. So so the guys would take their Jeeps back in there, and we would go camping. But it was not mine. My parents live on 2 acres, which is still nothing to scoff at.
That's a lot of land.
New
look,
Jersey,
I grew up
man.
With woods in my backyard. So, I mean, look, this is a very normal Midwest thing
yeah.
I can speak to.
Thank you.
Chan,
like, you should have gone to the beach for camping. That's how they do it out here, is beach camping.
We can't afford the beach.
You know, Gino, you know what they call beach camping? They call it being homeless out here, unfortunately. Yeah,
that's called.
That's not okay. It's not okay what you did just there. Now I'm the one doing gotcha. Boom.
Yeah, I like this episode.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. Great episode. Let's go ahead and break it down right now. Guys, I think G.I. Joe Extreme, like, again, like, doing it, get like a 5.5 on IMDb, and Deke Era got 7.6 or something. Like, flip
ridiculous.
Those two. Deke is Garbo. This is delightful. And no offense to, you know, our friends who made the Deke episodes, we love them. But let's face it, they're just not the same quality. G.I. Joe Extreme has been shockingly good. We say it every week. I keep waiting. I don't know for y'all. I keep waiting for the shoe to drop and this thing to get real shitty real fast.
Yeah,
and they
same.
Just keep giving me pretty decent episodes. And I think because Roger Slifer is one of the executive producers, he's a pretty big name in comic books, kids at home, especially back then. So I got to believe he's holding this to a higher level of quality and won't let it slip. And just respect to the team at Sunbow behind G.I. Joe Extreme. They're doing a fantastic job keeping this thing going.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think it's not a chore to watch every week like it was with Deke.
Guys, it was getting real rough.
And I feel like the Deke norm was if there was anything good in an episode, it was shocking. Whereas yes. This now I expect it to be good. So if it gets bad, I'll be especially pissed.
Chan?
I continue to expect it to start to suck real soon. And I will always, for the rest of time, expect that to be the case.
Even after we've seen them all and they were all good.
Here's the thing. I was watching something with my kid and I was like, you know what? This isn't that good. It's not bad.
Jan, just say it was Ryan's good. World and move on.
And I was told in much the same tone, I believe you have also said this, not every show can be Bluey. And I was like, well, yeah, but they should be. So,
sure.
Yes, I am holding everything now to a basically impossible standard.
So you're comparing G.I. Joe Extreme to Bluey. Is this what I'm getting out of this?
Every show needs to be Bluey good or it can go to hell.
Guys, if you have kids at home, you're not watching Bluey on Disney Plus. Dear Lord, it's amazing. You should be doing that. And also check out My Three Dads where we talk about Bluey.
We're in peak TV. Like right now, I'm excited to watch Ted Lasso every week. I'm excited to watch What We Do in Shadows every week. I'm excited to watch John Oliver. There's a bunch of shows that I'm like actively excited to watch.
Law and Order and SVU.
Anytime that I'm not SVU, I get angry that I'm forced to spend time when I could be spending it watching something really awesome.
True. I mean, one of the advantages of having this gigantic just glut of great shows and content producers is just so much. There is more amazing stuff coming out than you can physically watch.
Like, unless you're Gina.
Unless you're Gina, and you're still just going to rewatch 11 seasons of Arrow anyway, so I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm up to the new ones that I hadn't seen yet.
What rewatch of Supernatural are you on, Gina?
I haven't started it yet, but I am rewatching the new Doctor Who so I can get back up to the new Doctor Who, because I haven't seen any of the Lady Doctor episodes because I've been waiting to do my rewatch.
Fair enough.
But now you mention it, I should rewatch Supernatural.
Oh, dear Lord. Dear Lord. There are so many things I want to rewatch, but I don't have time to just watch the new things I want to watch.
Look, some of us have a thing called priorities, and yours are clearly not correct.
Some of us have these things called children.
Yeah, some of us have these things called consequences of your decisions.
That is, that was on the short list of names for our kid.
Oh my gosh, if his name was Consequences for Your Decisions, Clark Chan, I'm not going to lie, it would have been the greatest. That's the greatest. You can't top that. That's a win.
It's like a pilgrim name.
It is. And that's our show, everybody. G.I. Joe Extreme. Look, we're 10 of 13 episodes deep in season one. I'm willing to go out there and say this shit's not going to get bad, at least by the end of season one. It's great. We have three more episodes, Chan. You're running out of time. The clock is going soon, and you're behind in this game.
I will acknowledge that the season is probably going to end up fine, but I don't know what it's going to look like once they run out of Buzz's material.
I mean, here's the deal. That's an excellent point. At the end of 13 episodes, we might be done. I don't know, but we'll keep going. And when we hit season 6 of Knowing, it's half the podcast.
Dear God, why are we still doing this?
Season six. We got a lot more G.I. Joe.
It's going to pay off eventually.
For
Look,
you.
You're gonna fair, yeah, the number of jobs Gina's gotten out of this show. Legitimately, Gina's gotten, what, three jobs out of doing this show?
I get three jobs out of everything that I do, though.
I mean, fair.
Wow.
Fair enough. And look, I've gotten to meet all of the writers and voice actors from my childhood as a result of doing this show. And Chan has gotten to watch us do the things we wanted to do.
I got to eat some snacks. I did send some of those Japanese snacks to the show.
Japanese
Kit Kat. That would be enough to get me to do anything. So
I mean, that's how we got you in the door in the first place.
Wait, was I supposed to be getting snacks this whole time?
Don't worry about that. Okay, so guys, there's a lot of ways that you can interact with us. You can go on Facebook.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast. Go on Patreon, KnowingIsHalfThePodcast, Patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast. We are going to be doing, Chan, we got to set this up when you get back to Los Angeles, sooner rather than later. We're going to set up a Saturday afternoon recording. We're going to do another live show of G.I. Joe Operation Robot Assassin Find Your Fate coming up in the next few weeks, hopefully. So look for that. We're going to be doing it soon. And otherwise, you can hit us up on Twitter. We are on Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast. But individually, I am at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And that has been G.I. Joe Extreme, Episode 10, Now Hear This. Now Hear This. G.I. Joe Extreme is pretty good.
That's how you want to end it?
I assumed you were going to drop the show right there. Now it's weird.
Situation critical.
Roll call!
Ballistic! Harpoon!
Mayday!
Black Dragon!
Thunder Savage!
Greek Sight!
Metalhead!
Right!
Lieutenant Stone!
The odds are a million to one.
And that's the way we like it!
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures. But
oh my
Ash
god,
is like,
Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's like,
is it because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them.
If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast